You've probably heard by now of the Visitor's Center, Byway, and State Park on the Eastern Shore, named for Harriet Tubman, who led escaped slaves to freedom in the Underground Railroad and was a spy and a nurse during the Civil War. WIPR's Jonna McCone has been visiting some of the sites on that byway. Today, she takes us to the Stanley Institute, a one-room school that survived the Civil War.
But anyway, any other questions? One thing, too. As I mentioned, there was no running water.
That's Herschel Johnson, a retired postmaster of Federalsburg, explaining for a group of historians, scholars, and others interested in Tubman the Stanley Institute's 1950 version of a water fountain.
Children had to go across the road to the open wells, dig down to get water out of a bucket, bring it back, one dipper. All the children drank out of one dipper.
Johnson grew up in Dorchester County in the days of segregation and attended a school much like this one. A single teacher instructed several grades. These days he lives nearby and is a member of the Friends of the Stanley Institute, which led the restoration of the one-room building. Johnson, along with several other community residents, volunteers his time leading tours. And he says children who take the tours are incredulous, asking about the outhouse and non-existent cafeteria.
I think they are amazed that this is how education used to be. And I'm hoping that when they leave here, they will value education a lot more.
The Institute, a yellow wooden building, sits at the crossroads of Church Creek and Bailey Roads, just southwest of Cambridge. The school, set in what had been a free black community before the Civil War, was built in 1865. It was run and maintained by community residents and served for several years as both a church and a school. 100 years later, it remained a segregated institution, despite the Supreme Court's 1954 Brown v. Board of Education ruling that outlawed separate but equal schools. Dorchester County tried a freedom of choice plan in the 60s, but the schools remained essentially segregated until the 70s when a federally approved desegregation plan was put in place.
Okay, you graduated a year behind me.
I graduated in 59. Okay. I graduated in 56.
Yeah, and integration didn't come here to even freedom of choice. Didn't come until 67.
That's Johnson again, along with Shirley Ferguson Green and Barbara Lake, two graduates of the Stanley Institute, recalling their days growing up.
And even in the high school, we had books from the white. You could even have furniture from the white school. They got new and we got old, used. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it didn't stop us from learning because... the facts, as far as we knew, they were in those books.
Mm-hmm. Even though those books were used and passed down to us, we put covers on.
Yes.
We took paper bags.
Oh, yes.
And
sure
we covered
did.
Them.
We did. Brown paper bags and new covers for the books.
The school closed in 1966, but a former teacher cared for it until the Friends of the Stanley Institute took it over and began overseeing renovations and maintenance.
It was in pretty good shape to be sitting here all those years, not active, and we didn't start the restoration until the late 90s. So there was a lot of work to be done.
Now desks that look just like the ones Barbara Lake and Shirley Green sat in carefully line the schoolroom. There are books from the period they attended the school, a blackboard, and archival photographs of children working inside the tiny building. Before the Civil War, it was a crime in many states for an enslaved person to read, write, or attend school. The restored Stanley Institute seeks to capture the initiative black communities took to establish their own schools, despite the hazards. I'm Jonna McCone, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.